Let me read a few passages of Scripture found in the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil every day, continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The whole world lay in a sea of corruption, no deeper nor darker than the sea of corruption in which our world lives today. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Every imagination, God said every thought, every imagination of every thought in the heart of man was only evil continually, selfish, lustful, hateful, blasphemous. Every imagination of his heart was evil. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the wrath of God hung like a cloud over all the earth. He said, it repenteth me that I've made man, and I will destroy man and beast and creeping thing and fowl. I'll destroy everything on the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, grace, grace, grace. 'Tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo will resound, and all the earth shall hear. Grace first planned the way to save rebellious man. All God's attributes are on display in that eternal plan. Grace first inscribed my name in God's eternal book. It was grace that sent the blessed Lamb who all my sorrows took. Grace taught my heart to pray, and grace made my eyes overflow. It's grace that keeps me to this day, and grace will not let me go. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Oh, how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Like Noah, I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In a world that is buried in a sea, in a cesspool, in a mire of iniquity, you and I have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Among a people whose every imagination of our heart, of our thoughts, are covetous, greed, evil, continually, never lets up. But we found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God's judgment, the wrath of God, hangs like a cloud over this world, just waiting to empty His judgment upon every flesh, all flesh. But here and there and yonder, there's some Noahs that have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God will, not by water, but by fire, destroy this world. But there's some folks who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, if there's just one word, of all words, if there's just one word that can sum up the character and the attributes of the living God, one word, think. One word that would sum up God's character, God's attributes, the living God. One word. It'd be the word holy. Holy. If you think of any other word, you're wrong. The word holy. God is love, but it's a holy love. God is angry, but it's a holy wrath. God is just. It's a holy justice. Not a biased justice. It's a holy justice. God's in His holy temple. When Isaiah saw the Lord, the song of heaven from the seraphims was what? Holy, holy, holy. God is holy. Holy and reverend is His name. I said one word. If there's one word that can sum up the nature and character of all people, of everybody, you and me included, in the flesh, by nature, it's not the word good. It's the word evil. I'm tired of hearing good. He's a good man. She's a good girl. He's a good boy. We're so far away from the word of God, it's pitiful. Every imagination of the thought of his heart is what? Good. Evil. Evil. That's the way. Evil. God is holy, and we're evil. God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did do good. And he said, they're all together gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. Not one. Evil. By one man, evil entered the world. If there's one word, only one word that I could give to sum up redemption, redemption, redemption and salvation from eternity past to eternity future, the covenant, everlasting covenant of mercy to the fulfillment of the saints. There's one word that shall be, that shall fill heaven and earth. One name that shall be praised, it's Christ. It's Christ. There's none other name, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. The Father loves Christ and hath given all things into His hand. That is the name of Christ, every knee shall bow. But if there's one word that can sum up our gospel, that can sum up our message, but this day in October 1985, one word that can sum up our ministry to whomever and wherever and whenever God is pleased to give us a hearing ear. If there's one word that can sum up what we have to say in reference to God dealing with men, it's the word grace. 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 For by grace are you saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul was about to depart from his friends. He said, you'll never see me again. You'll never see me again. You'll never hear me preach again. I'll never speak to you again. And they knew it. They knew he was leaving for the last time, that they were hearing him for the last time, that he was going to suffer and die. And he said in verse 22 of Acts 20, Acts 20:22, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that chains, imprisonment, afflictions abide or await me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's my message, he said. What I would give in this day, oh, what I would give for a ministry, for preachers who stand, who dare to stand and open this book and speak to congregations, whether in person or over the radio or television or wherever. Who have no other motive, who have no other objective, no other intention, no other concern, no other care, than to preach the gospel of the grace of God, what it would mean to our generation. Just not interested in how many to preach to, or who's there, or how they react to it, or whether they get to say another word, or whether they get to pastor that place another Sunday, or whether they live in a Holiday Inn or a house or a prison, or whether they drive a car or hitchhike, or whether they have a nice $400 suit or a pair of overalls. Just don't give a hoot. But they're going to come hell or high water and preach the gospel. Boy, wouldn't that be something? I'd love to be sitting around when folks start doing that. Man, I'd like to be present. Because I'd get right beside him and dare anybody to touch him. Yeah, I would. Man, would tell me the truth, I'd back him, wouldn't you? Man, I'd stand for it. Marvelous grace. Paul said, these things don't move me. I'm leaving, going to Jerusalem. Whatever, I don't know what awaits me there, but the Holy Ghost said, and he's seldom wrong. He said that I'm going to jail. Chains and afflictions and persecution, but I know, that doesn't bother me. I don't count my life dear unto myself. I want to do one thing. I want to finish my course with joy and this ministry to which God has committed to my hands and which I've received to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, oh grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within, where these evil imaginations originate. The place where God looks, not cleansing the outward flesh in this water, not dressing up the flesh and appearing pious to people, but grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace greater than our sins. I tell you this, like a golden thread, unbroken, the grace of God, the free, unmerited, undeserved grace of God runs through the believer's whole history. Did you know that? The grace of God from our election in eternity past, our election in eternity past, when God, according to the good pleasure of His own will, set His love upon us and chose us out of Adam's race, a people for His name, whom He gave to His Son. Grace from that day until the day we stand before God by His grace, perfectly conformed to the image of His blessed Son. There's no point in our experience or in our existence where I cannot say, I am what I am by the grace of God. I know what I know by the grace of God. I have what I have by the grace of God. At no point from eternity past to eternity future in the experience or existence or history of a redeemed person, a believer, at no point is there a time when I cannot say, right this minute, I am what I am by the grace of God, without which I'd be a devil. That's right. Without which Almighty God would have to send me to hell. Grace. Grace. I tell you, our election to life is by His grace. Listen to it. Romans 11:5 says, Even so, at this present time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. My friends, I'm not ashamed of this doctrine. I don't know why. I do, too, because of the evil nature of the creature. But men hate that which is their only hope. I told my Sunday school class this morning, I despise the doctrine of salvation by works. You know why? You know why I despise it? It has nothing for me. It's not good news to me. You tell me that God will save me if I do something, that's bad news. Because I don't have anything to do or to give. God, my righteousness is a filthy rag. I hate a gospel that requires anything of me, because I have nothing to give. I love grace. Free grace. Don't you? That's the gospel I love. Because it's the only gospel that gives me any hope. I didn't choose God. He chose me. I chose evil. And if left to myself, that's exactly what I'd choose now. Salvation by works has nothing for an honest man. The only person that can believe in salvation by works is a crook. He's a liar. He's a crook. Any man who says that he's good enough to go to God's presence is a crook. I'm not good enough. I need grace. I didn't love Him. He loved me. Herein is love, not that we love God. He loved us and gave Himself for us. Election doesn't shut anybody out of the kingdom of God. It's a door by which men enter the kingdom of God. Election is not bad news. Works is bad news. Human choice is bad news. If God waits around for me to choose Him, I'll never choose Him. Election's good news. It's good news. Oh, it's good news. And then our call is by grace. Paul said, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by His grace. He called me. Old Noah, he was a part of the human race. He was a part of this cesspool.
You say, well, he's a little better than the rest of them. Yeah, but a little better than the rest of them won't get it. All have seen it. But Noah was a part of it. And God, he found grace. And God's wrath came upon the earth, and Noah found grace. And God sent a flood, and Noah found grace. Boy, I tell you, that's where I want to be, right there. I want to be where Noah was. I want to find grace. Abraham prayed that way, said, Lord, if I found grace in your sight. Moses prayed that way, Lord, if I found grace in thy sight. Everybody with any understanding of God prays that way too. Our justification is by grace, being freely justified by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Oh, Paul said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? That though he were rich, yet for your sake he became poor. That was his grace. Our daily strength in trials is found where? In grace. Paul said, Lord, I can't. This thorn's too much. Three times, too much, too much, too much. God said, my grace is sufficient. Our prayers ascend to a throne of grace. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. And Paul summed it up. I want you to turn to this, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul, I like the way he sums things up. He said, therefore we conclude, and here in 1 Corinthians 15, he says in verse 9, listen to it. Here he lays the whole thing down. And I was sitting there yesterday reading this, and I thought, oh my, to be able to say this without hypocrisy, without pretense, without pretension, openly, candidly before God. Verse 9, I am the least of the apostles. I am the least. Oh, he said, I am the least. That's kind of hard to say and mean, isn't it? We're the chief, we're the leader, we're the instructor. Paul said, I'm the least. And not only that, but I'm not meet, I'm not fit. That's the word, fit. Meet is fit or worthy. I'm not fit to be even called an apostle. And thirdly, I persecuted the church of God. But I'll tell you this, brethren, I'll tell the whole world, and I'll scream it to heaven and to the lowest recesses of hell, by the grace of God, I am what I am. There's where it is, right there. That's where it is. By the grace of God, I am. That sums up our ministry, our message, our gospel, our hope. Hail sovereign love that first began this scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail matchless free eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place. A few more rolling suns at most will land me safe on Canaan's coast, where I shall sing the songs of grace and praise forever Christ, my hiding place. That's the sum and substance of my whole hope, message, gospel, instructions to you. Salvation is by the grace of God. Now, I don't mean cooperative. I don't mean part of it. I don't mean most of it. I mean all of it. The gift of God's grace. Now, I want, for just a few minutes, every believer in Christ, I'm going to take four passages of Scripture, and I want every believer in Christ to listen carefully. Every true, honest, God-honoring, Bible-believing, Christ-trusting child of God to listen. And I believe this will help you to be grounded and to rejoice in God's free grace, to be comforted, to be given the assurance of his unfailing grace. We need, Isaiah said, comfort ye. The Lord speaking through Isaiah said, comfort my people.
Give him a place to stand. Give him a place to lie down and rest. Don't keep him all the time uncertain and in doubt and fear. But give him a place. Tell him their sins are forgiven. Tell him their iniquities pardoned. Tell him that they've received from the Lord double for all their iniquities. Tell him to rest. Just sit under the shady tree and rest. Find delight in Christ. Tell him that. Because this thing's by grace. And then I want every person here who has no assurance of your interest in Christ and the mercy of God to listen to these four scriptures and be encouraged to call on the name of the Lord. If Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, why not me? Huh? Why not? If God's going to save a no-count, worthless bum like you, David, why wouldn't he save me? That's right. If God's going to reach down in Detroit and save a Yankee like you, Mike, why not me? That's right, isn't it? You first want to say amen. What'd you bring? Nothing. What'd you bring? What'd you give? Well, what are you doing? Well, how are you saved? By grace. That's right. Well, if it don't cost nothing, then I can come in, can't it? That's what I'm saying. If it doesn't cost anything, then I can come. If you don't have to bring anything, then don't bring nothing but an appetite, then I can eat, can't it? He said, come, for all things are ready. Why not you? No, you keep reaching to find out what you're going to bring, how much you're going to pay, or what you're going to do. I don't want to be baptized just yet. Who said you had to be? Well, I just don't, wife and I just can't afford to tithe right now. Who said you had to? Well, you know, we don't live where there's a church, and we're just not able to go. Didn't know salvation was in the church. Well, tell you what you're doing. You're waiting to fix up your robe so you can come sit down and get cast out for wearing the wrong robe. You're just getting fixed up so you can come in. The king will walk in and say, how'd you get in here? Cast him out. See, everybody that comes freely. In my hands, no price I bring. By grace. Grace. That's where it is. Free grace. All right, watch this now. Four scriptures, and I'll quit. 2 Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy 1:9. Now, you take your Bible and look at this, 2 Timothy 1:9. And there are four words that define this grace of God. The first one is eternal. The second one is sovereign. The third one is free. And the fourth one's in Christ. Can you remember those four words? There are four words that define the grace of God and salvation. Eternal, sovereign, free, in Christ. All right, watch this. In 2 Timothy 1:9. He hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began. How we're saved? Eternal grace before the world began. You know what it says? Sovereign grace according to his own purpose. Free grace, not according to our works. Where is it? In Christ. That's grace. You see those four things? God's grace is eternal. Before the world began. God's grace is sovereign according to his own purpose. God's grace is free, not according to your works, then or now. And it's in Christ. All right? Turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13, you have it? 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Grace
All right? But, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of grace is it? Eternal, from the beginning. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. What kind of grace is it? Sovereign. He chose you. It's free. Beloved of the Lord. Brethren, beloved of the Lord. You didn't love him. He loved you. And verse 14 says, it's in Christ. He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you something else. This grace, this free grace, sovereign grace, eternal grace, always is given to us through the gospel. Every time, you watch it, every time you read a verse of Scripture having to do with, go back to that one in 2 Timothy. Let me show you this, 2 Timothy 1:9. You remember I showed you verse 9? He saved us and called us with a holy calling, eternal, free, sovereign in Christ. Look at verse 10, the next verse. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher. See that, David? Not without it. You're not saved because God elected you. God elected you unto salvation. You're saved because Christ died for you. And that salvation becomes a reality when you believe it by hearing the gospel. Look back at 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit quickening, regenerating, calling, and belief of the truth, whereunto, that's not the end of the sentence, there's a colon there, whereunto he called you by our gospel. See that day, and he called. That's the reason we must preach the gospel. That's the reason you must hear the gospel. The gospel's Christ. Christ, you see, he was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world in the mind and purpose of God, but he had to die. And I was chosen to salvation in the mind and purpose of God, but I had to be brought to him. I had to be born. I had to be born. All right, here's the third scripture, quickly, Galatians 1. Galatians 1:15. Listen to Paul here now. Hear those four words. Galatians 1:15. Listen to it. But, Galatians 1:15, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. Well, the four words, eternal, from my mother's womb, before I was conceived, sovereign, it pleased God. It pleased God. Free, he called me by his grace. In Christ to reveal his son. Not to me, in me. In me. And watch the next line. To reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Always, see, election usually is coupled with two or three things. One, it's always coupled with praise. Our Lord said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you hid these things from the wise and prudent. I thank you. Ephesians 1, Paul talks about election. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings according as he chose us. In 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul said, I give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. But it's also coupled with preaching. Always. Belief of the truth. Preaching. See, each time he talks about, he called me to preach this gospel. The last one, Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:3. Now watch for these four words. You pick them out yourself now. It's eternal, it's sovereign, it's free, it's in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he chose us sovereign, when eternal, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted in the Beloved. Now then, I say this in closing, whether it's you or me or whomever or whatever or whenever, there's a holy God with a holy law and a holy justice. And the creatures of this earth are evil, born in evil, conceived, shapen, brought forth in evil. Your sins have separated you and your God. But there's a way back to God. There's a way of redemption. There's a way of acceptance. There's a way of reconciliation. There's a way of atonement. But everybody says that they have a way, but the ways are so different that are being preached. And I have a way that I'm preaching. I have preached for 35 years now. And the way I'm preaching is the way of grace. Not the way of works, not the way of religion, not the way of do's and don'ts, not the way of communion or baptism or tithing or giving or going or keeping Sabbath days. And so the way I'm preaching is the way of grace. Not anything we produce or send up, everything comes down from him. It originates with him, purposed by him, given from him, of him, and to him, in the sense that it enables him to be just and justified, reconciles his law, satisfies his justice, and honors his righteousness. And he sent down here into this world a representative, a federal head, a covenant head, a redeemer, who became identified with me, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, even Jesus Christ, his Son. It was his grace that gave him. It was his grace that gave him to me. His grace that loved me in him. His grace that revealed him to me, and his grace that enabled me to believe on him and to look to him to trust him. And I say that's the way to God. If you can be done with all your works and all your tradition and all your religion and all your counted all but dung like Saul of Tarsus, and be led to look only to God in Christ, to do business with God in Christ, to receive God in Christ, to rest before God in Christ, and to leave your salvation wholly in the arms and hands of Jesus Christ, I believe God will receive you. Because that's what he said. We're accepted in the Beloved. I believe he will. I believe that's the way. I don't believe there's another way. I think that's the way. Our Father, the very fact we can call thee our Father, because by nature you're not our Father. We're of our father the devil. But because Christ loved us and gave himself for us and has given to us the spirit of adoption, by your grace we cry, Abba, Father. And this way into your presence is the new and living way opened by the blood of Christ. Thy throne of justice is by the blood of Christ the throne of grace. And we have nothing to bring. In the flesh no man can please thee. You said you'd take these stony hearts away and give us a heart of flesh. Take our sins away and give us a righteousness. We don't have anything to bring. But we come ourselves as sinners before thy throne of grace, O God. And like the publican of old, we cry, let thy blood be propitiation for me on the mercy seat. Be merciful unto me. Save me for Christ's sake. Give me a heart to love Christ, to love Christ, to rest in him, and all here in this congregation. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.